This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Give it to Turner. Going to the right side at the five. Michael Turner just had it.
Who to start, who to sit, who's a sleeper, and who's a bust. A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, look, fires over the middle, caught, rush, the touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
It's there, Lynch, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek, guru, Brian Lowe.
London most certainly is calling, but the Fantasy Lowdown never takes a week off. Whether the Patriots are in London, bye week, home, away, whatever, we're here for you. Bringing you the Fantasy Lowdown here for week number 7. Now, a little bit of an odd circumstances for us. What you're hearing right now was recorded earlier, and we always encourage your emails, and we still do, webradio at patriots.com, but just so you know, if you send us an email during this hour, we're not going to get to it this hour, and if it's something about Stardom or Sit'em for this week, my humble apologies. Recording this a little bit earlier, and my many thanks to a whole bunch of emailers who have already gotten to send us their who to start, who to sit questions, and we're going to get to those during the course of this show. I'm en route to London. In fact, as you're listening, I'm probably... maybe at Logan. I don't think I'll be quite at on the road yet, but heading that way along with the Patriots and some absolute fantasy studs, from Week 6 will be on this trip to London. Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, you know them. They finally came to play from a fantasy perspective, all in one fell swoop against the Tennessee Titans.
But I still didn't get a win, even with Brady's 51 points.
And our esteemed producer segues better than I ever could onto our B-low league. And what a dismal performance by you, Jason. You know, I mean, it was the margin of victory was high, but you did run into a team that had, you know, what was it, 144 points or something ridiculous like that.
I actually got a congratulations email from Tracy congratulating me on taking over the bottom point producer in the league.
Absolutely. You going to answer the phone or what? You know, we have phone calls. We have the phone ringing during the show. We don't need to hear that. But, you know, Jason, you are slightly off the hook, at least as this show goes, from the standpoint of our performances in Week 6. I lost. I didn't lose by much. I lost by 9. You can live with that. You can deal with that. That's fine. But I lost to a team that had not one, not two, but three players slash defense on a bye. So Kent Kamikaze has Joseph Addai, Dallas Clark, and Miami's defense on a bye. Now, I'm not privy to the inner workings of that team and the personnel decisions and all that that they make. Not sure exactly who Kent Kamikaze could have put in there or what the decision went into, what went into the decisions. But three out of the 10 spots in the lineup had bye. I had 10 for 10. You know, I had 10 guys in, 10 guys played, no one on a bye. And I lost by 9. I still maybe would have been able to live with it if not for the agonizing decision now I've made for 2 weeks in a row, the Matt Hasselbeck, Matt Ryan decision. And last week, it was one of those couldn't have really gone wrong. I had Matt Hasselbeck in there. He had a huge week. Matt Ryan did too. Hasselbeck had a little more points, a few more points. That worked out well. This week, I sit Matt Ryan again and keep my confidence in Matt Hasselbeck alive, and he gives me a goose egg. Now, if Matt Ryan was in there, which I probably should have done, I would have won. So there you go. I had a huge performance from D'Angelo Williams, a huge performance from Marcus Colston, a huge performance from Green Bay's defense, and still lost. Kent Kamikaze had a massive performance by Drew Brees, massive performance by Wes Welker, three guys on a bye, and still won. Frustration for sure. The pitfalls of being a fantasy football player. You win some, you lose some, of course. Some wins are more enjoyable than others. Some losses are more agonizing than others. This, my friends, was an agonizing loss. So Jason remains in last place at 0-6. His quest for 0-14 or 0-16 or whatever it may be, still very much alive. And I mean very much alive. When's our Jason, our showdown is soon, right? Is it this week? It's coming up maybe next week? It's soon. I think we go head-to-head fairly soon because we haven't yet, correct? We have not yet gone head-to-head. So that's coming.
That is correct.
I am still in a four-way tie for first place at 4-2. Jason is now 2-12th place, two games behind number 11. Hey, that's the way it goes, you know? That's the way it goes. So that's the story here. I made one roster move in the last couple days. Actually, two. One of them was at kicker where I had Josh Scobie with a bye. I also dropped Kenny Britt and added Jermichael Finley to my roster. So Kenny Britt is, you know, obviously part of a lackluster offense, one that we saw this week here at Gillette Stadium. So felt fine dropping him. So that's the story from B. Lowe's League. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes from here. As far as last week and, you know, looking at some of the primo performances in fantasy football from last week, I mentioned it really started and ended right here at Gillette Stadium. It didn't end here at Gillette Stadium. It started here at Gillette Stadium. Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Lawrence Maroney, and we will be talking about Lawrence Maroney quite a bit in the next few minutes. Don't you worry. But finally, we saw that performance where you had Tom Brady in your lineup, you had Wes Welker in your lineup, you had Randy Moss in your lineup, and you said at the end of the day, thank God I did. Finally, we saw what they're really capable of. Brady throwing 6 touchdown passes, 5 1/4. Randy Moss catching 3 of them. Wes Welker catching a pair, both well over 100 yards. And that was great to see. So Tom Brady really was the number one fantasy performer, probably in any format that you're possibly in, by a landslide. Others who had big games from a running back standpoint, Maurice Jones-Drew had 133 yards and 3 touchdowns. Ray Rice, 2 touchdowns, not a lot of yards. D'Angelo Williams, 2 touchdowns and a lot of yards. Thomas Jones hit the 200-yard mark and a score. Now, Tom Brady's performance overshadowed everyone. If not for that, Drew Brees and Matt Schaub had lights-out performances, nearly 400 yards both, 4 touchdown passes both, and Matt Schaub had one little blemish, one interception. Drew Brees did not have any. So Brady, six touchdowns, no interceptions, 380 yards, obviously takes the cake there. A couple of other big-time performances, Brett Favre nearly 300 yards with 3 touchdowns, Ben Roethlisberger over 400 yards and 2 scores. Marcus Colston and Hines Ward both had well over 100 yards, over 150, in fact, and a touchdown. Zach Miller, as far as tight ends, 139 yards and a touchdown. Owen Daniels didn't quite hit the 100-yard mark, but did have 2 touchdowns in that game. Those are a couple of the highlight performances. Once again, we do encourage your emails all the time here on the Fantasy Lowdown. We have a bunch of emails already in the inbox. And again, if you're trying to email us now, please do, but understand this is a tape show for this week and this week only. Let's get to some of the emails. Why don't we at this point already? This one is from Kenneth. He says, in a league where DST, defense and special teams, accrues points by, quote, normal methods, yards allowed, interceptions, fumbles, score, etc., but where those points are pretty heavily weighted on either side, in other words, if your defense does well, you get a lot of points. If it does poorly, you can get heavy negative points. So far, it's worked out pretty well for me, though not as well as Brady's 51 points for me in my other league this past week, but I've got a dilemma this week. The Steelers' defense and special teams against the Vikings or the 49ers' defense and special teams versus the Texans? Right now, I'm thinking I might be better off with the 49ers versus the Texans. Your thoughts? That is a tough one right there. You know, the Vikings and the Texans, both, you know, as far as offenses go, those are two pretty good offenses. You know, Minnesota's sort of middle of the pack as far as the stats go, and, you know, Houston in the upper third, but big play capabilities. And, you know, as far as San Fran is on the road, you know, Pittsburgh's at home against Minnesota. Tough call right there. I'm going to lean towards the Steelers, actually, in this one. I'm going to lean towards the Steelers at home. There is a note that Adrian Peterson's a little banged up. You do worry about the Steelers. You know, are they able to, you know, no team can really stop Adrian Peterson. But, you know, the Texans worry me. And the Texans, you know, at home, I think that's going to be one where the San Fran's defense, kind of like Atlanta a couple weeks ago when they played Atlanta, really struggled. You do have a dilemma. You put it right. You have a dilemma this week because neither one of those, to me, is a great bet for this week. But I'm going to lean towards the Pittsburgh Steelers in that one, Kenneth. Hope I point you in the right direction on that one. Tough call for me. I'm struggling with that one as I think it through as I'm giving you my impressions, and I'm struggling with that one. But give me Pittsburgh. Not by much. Give me Pittsburgh not by much right there, and you'll take your chances. I should mention there are six teams on a bye this week. One of those rare weeks where, you know, there are six. Let me just see here. Yeah, the six teams that are on bye: Denver, Detroit, Tennessee, Seattle, Jacksonville, and Baltimore. Denver sky high, 6-0. So they obviously have some performers, some fantasy performers that maybe we wouldn't have really thought at the beginning of the year would be right up there. But, you know, Kyle Orton, Carell Buckhalter, obviously Brandon Marshall, those are guys you're going to need to bench. Detroit, you know, there's really not much to worry about there. If you don't have Dante Culpepper in your lineup this week, big deal. Calvin Johnson was hurt last week. You know, Kevin Smith is a tough loss, I guess, but, you know, you'll be able to live with any of the guys on Detroit's team that you don't have. Tennessee, same thing. I mean, other than Chris Johnson, obviously if you have Chris Johnson, that's a big hit this week, but, you know, not going to have to worry too much about the Kerry Collins or any of their wideouts. Seattle, you know, I've been touting Seattle and Matt Hasselbeck all year, and they've been very up and down. Some of their good outings have been monstrous. Hasselbeck, Burleson, Hushmanzada, they're on a bye this week, so you're going to have to keep that in mind. Jacksonville, Maurice Jones-Drew, we talked about what a huge game he had the other day. They're on a bye, so that's one guy for sure that you're going to have to make sure you have benched. And Baltimore, on a slide right now, but between their defense, their running backs who have been capable, Joe Flacco, of course, Derek Mason, Todd Heap, all guys you're going to need to have in a bye. And this really makes it very difficult, obviously, as you're filling out your lineup for this week with six teams on a bye, 6 out of 32. You know, I'm no math major, but that's about a fifth of the league. So most likely, even if you haven't been all that affected by bye weeks, or if there's been a week in the last couple weeks where you weren't all that affected, almost for sure you're going to be affected in some way this week with your buys. And, you know, as it turns out, one of the absolute hottest names on the waiver wire for most fantasy leagues this week is a guy right down the hall from where this show comes to you right now, Lawrence Maroney. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Fred Taylor having an injury and who among the Patriots running backs will probably have a chance to step up. And the consensus, and certainly my thinking, was it's Sammy Morris. Plan on him getting the bulk of the carries. He's going to get most of the touches. You know, he got some touches against Denver. I thought of him as a pretty good sleeper candidate. He had some decent yardage, didn't break one or anything like that. It wasn't a huge performance for him going into this pass game. Again, I think, you know, we figured it would be rainy, be wet and all that. Maybe they have to go to the running game because the passing game doesn't make a lot of sense in a day like that. Sammy Morris gets hurt in the first series of the game. So the Patriots' depth at running back just keeps on diminishing. And now, right now, they really only have three healthy running backs on the roster: Lawrence Maroney, Kevin Faulk, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. Now, there's nothing definitive yet on Fred Taylor and Sammy Morris, but it seems unlikely that either one of them will play. Kevin Faulk is always going to sort of be in the mix, but he won't be your primary carrier. A lot of fan outpouring for Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis to get more carries and get more of a shot. But you got to figure, this is Lawrence Maroney's game. This is Lawrence Maroney time. The way he looked in the game against Tennessee was phenomenal. That touchdown run, I thought it was mostly, you know, the blocking was there, but he didn't have a huge hole to get through. It was a great touchdown run. He ran hard a few other times. If this is the Lawrence Maroney that the Patriots are going to see week in and week out, you've got to grab him fantasy-wise. Now, this week in particular, go get him. If you need a running back and Lawrence Maroney's available in your league, go get him. There really are no signs to this point. Again, we're coming to you a little bit tape delayed. If I have to eat my words and something has happened between when we recorded this and when you're listening to it, I apologize. But as of now, there's no sign that they're going to be adding another running back, which means that it's really Lawrence Maroney with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis as his backup, and Kevin Faulk getting in the mix on third down, maybe getting a carry or two, maybe catching a pass or two. But it's really Lawrence Maroney. And as I took a gander around some of my favorite fantasy columnists around the World Wide Web, here's what they're saying. Jamie Eisenberg from CBSSports.com, who we've had on the show before, he says the running backs off this week include Ray Rice, Willis McGahee, No'Shawn Moreno, Kevin Smith, Maurice Jones-Drew, Julius Jones, and Chris Johnson. Most, if not all, have been starting fantasy options at some point this year. While there isn't much help on the waiver wire, an injury in Week 6 may have opened an opportunity, and it's a name most of you know, but have tried to avoid the past 2 years. Lawrence Maroney. Maroney went from a solid fantasy running back at the end of 2007 to a dud last year. He only played in three games in 08 due to a shoulder injury, but he appeared to be in Bill Belichick's doghouse before he got hurt. Prior to the injury, Maroney had only 28 carries for 93 yards and no touchdowns or catches. He was drafted as a starting fantasy running back and lost value almost immediately. This year, Maroney was hardly drafted at all. His ownership in CBSSports.com leagues was at 38% in week one and slipped to 24% heading into week seven. But that's about to change. So that's what Jamie Eisenberg says. He notes again, Maroney has a chance to post quality fantasy numbers against the Bucs, who just allowed over 250 yards rushing against Carolina. And Tampa Bay's ranking, as far as rush defense, 31st in the league. They're only behind the Buffalo Bills in run defense. Maroney could follow suit. D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart each had a big day against Tampa Bay. Maroney could follow suit depending on how the Patriots plan to attack the Bucs. Tom Brady just got on track against the Titans with 380 passing yards and six touchdowns, so Belichick might continue to come out throwing at an insane rate. Here's what I have to say about that, and what Jamie Eisenberg goes on to say. They're probably going to throw at an insane rate, and they're probably going to have some success against Tampa Bay, but I think they're also going to have running success. Now, Maroney should get some opportunities early on when the game is still, 0-0 or close, just because they're not too deep in the game. Even against Tennessee, 20 minutes into the game, it's still only 17-0 or something. It's still, not a blowout yet. So I think Maroney's going to get his chances. He still needs to prove to me that he can string a few of these along, have more than one great outing in a row, kind of like he did at the end of 2007, or a couple of his breakout games in 2006. But definitely worth picking up. And as Jamie says, if you have a hole to fill this week, definitely feel free to fill it with Lawrence Maroney if he is available in your league. This is the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. I'm Brian Lowe, bringing you an hour of fantasy football talk each and every week. Again, as I said on the top, we're recording this week's show. I'll be on my way to London. Feel free to email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll get to you next week. For right now, we'll be back in a bit. Let's take a break.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest plastic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on a Thursday leading up to week number 7 in the NFL. Patriots at Buccaneers, but not really at Buccaneers. Patriots at Buccaneers at Wembley at London is the game on tap for this week. And we've talked about the Patriots' high-powered offense, at least in this past week, and whether or not they can duplicate that this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think they will, and I think a lot of people agree. A lot of people are just licking their chops, knowing the Patriots are going to have another winless opponent, another dreadful defense that they'll be facing this Sunday. A couple notes I've looked at over the course of this week, just keep in mind, Trent Edwards missing some Bills practices, not expected to play against Carolina in Week 7. So as we talked about earlier, with all these bye weeks, six teams on bye weeks, when you have another quarterback who's injured, it just fewer and fewer guys are available to play. You're going to need to, you know, seek out trades, look for that rare team that might have quarterback depth, you know, more than one quarterback who's active this week. At least in terms of Wednesday, Trent Edwards wasn't even at Buffalo's facility. This is according to RotoWorld.com. Instead, he stayed at home to recuperate from a concussion he suffered. He has a growing history of concussions, so expecting that the Bills will be extremely cautious. And what that means is that Ryan Fitzpatrick is expected to be the Bills' starting quarterback against the Carolina Panthers. Now, the Panthers have a very middle-of-the-pack defense, but they've been pretty stingy statistically in pass defense, improving a little bit there. It's been the run D that has been causing most of their problems, which means that it's not like Ryan Fitzpatrick becomes available and he's going to start for Buffalo and, you know, he becomes a top five quarterback. No chance of that. This is a trouble for really everyone in Bills offense. RotoWorld says it hurts the entire offense. Fitzpatrick, quote, led a Week 6 win over the stumbling Jets, but was mostly ineffective and has one of the league's weakest arms. Carolina, usually susceptible to the run, will easily be able to stack the box against Marshawn Lynch and Fred Jackson. Vertical wideouts Lee Evans and Terrell Owens should also be downgraded. So definitely negative thoughts here as far as the Buffalo offense. If Ryan Fitzpatrick is indeed leading the charge, and that's the way it looks. So keep that in mind. If you're desperate for a quarterback, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is probably available in your league. But keep in mind, this does not seem like a good matchup and not good overall for the Buffalo Bills. Donnie Avery held out of practice for the Rams on Wednesday. Steve Spagnuolo saying they didn't want to push him. He felt good Monday and Tuesday, but it tightened up on him. Looks like he'll be questionable when the St. Louis Rams play the Indianapolis Colts. And, the Colts have a pretty good defense this year. You got to figure Indianapolis's defense against St. Louis, with or without Donnie Avery, that's a matchup I'd want. So if the Indianapolis Colts are available in your league, keep them in mind. That's a team that defensively, you know, at the beginning of the season, not necessarily a team that has been drafted in your league. And, we mentioned all these six teams on a bye. If any of them are your defense and you need a defense and you're willing to go the week-to-week matchup, which is something I tend to do, I think I just have a terrible history of drafting defenses. I try to draft a good defense, and then it just turns out not to be the case. This year, in two of my leagues, I have Washington's defense and San Diego's defense. Neither one of them are really defenses I want to include in my roster week to week, the way it's looking so far. And Indianapolis for this week seems to be a good bet, and if Donnie Avery is out, even better if you own Indy's defense. Clinton Portis missed Redskins practice Wednesday, a sprained ankle, but it looks like with an extra day that he has to prepare for their Monday Night Football matchup against the Eagles, it looks like he's probably going to play. He is expected to play in Week 7, so keep him in mind. Rashard Mendenhall, limited in Steelers practice, a bruised knee. Doesn't seem like he's hurt seriously and probably won't impact him too much against Minnesota, but something to keep in mind. More emails. Let's get to more emails here. This one is from Joshua in California. Hey, Brian, I have some start him and sit him questions this week. I can start one quarterback, two running backs, three wideouts, one tight end, one kicker, one defense. And here's what he's got. Quarterback, Tom Brady, Mark Sanchez. Come on. I think you emailed us before, Josh, and you know not to take it personally when I basically say I'm laughing at you for even bringing up. I know you didn't specify, do I start? Which one do I start? You put in parentheses, starter, quarterback, Tom Brady. Understood. You're not going to worry. You're not going to want to sit him, that's for sure. Running back, you can start two of them. Joseph Addai, Rashard Mendenhall, Julius Jones, Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor injured. It's Addai and Mendenhall. As long as Mendenhall's healthy, don't really like Julius Jones. Obviously, well, they're on a bye anyways, so you really don't have much of a choice there unless you pick someone else up. Wide receiver, you've got four. You need three. T.J. Houshmandzadeh, Andre Johnson, Wes Welker, Michael Jenkins. Houshmandzadeh on a bye, so you really don't have much of an option there. Andre Johnson, starter every week. Wes Welker, no doubt about it this week. We're going to get in a bit on the New England wide receiver situation. And Michael Jenkins, don't love him, but you know, you're definitely going to want to start him. Tight end, Benjamin Watson, Heath Miller. Now, that's an interesting one. You need one of them. I'm going to say go with Benjamin Watson. It's been a couple weeks now. He scored against Denver. But, you know, if this is a game where they're throwing and they're limited at wide receiver, they don't have a lot of wideouts, they really, if you take the Patriots' combined total of skill position players, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, right now they have eight that are healthy. That is a very low number. Only three wideouts, one of which is your special teams captain, only three running backs, and then two tight ends, including Watson. I'm going to lean toward Watson in this case. Start Watson. You know, it's a tight one there. You could probably go either way, and it's hard to tell, hard to judge sometimes the tight ends, but I think this could be a week where Benjamin Watson, you know, gets into the end zone, and it's a good matchup for them to exploit. Kicker, Stephen Gostkowski, defense, Steelers. We talked about the Steelers going up against Minnesota, and not necessarily a great defense for this week. You know, go for it if you want to take your chances, but take a peek. And I mentioned a little while ago, Indianapolis defense. If you want to go week to week, take a look and see if the Indianapolis defense is available. Jason, if you're listening, don't pick up Indianapolis because then you might bust your 0-6 streak.
I think I have them, but they're sitting on my bench.
Well, keep them on your bench if you want to get a win. Keep them on your bench if you want to keep getting a loss. Add them if you want to win.
New York Giants.
And the New York Giants, they face Arizona. Listen, Jason, if you want to try to get a win, Indianapolis against St. Louis is a better defense this week than the Giants against Arizona. Now, I know you got a quest here for 0-16. Go for it. But you heard it here first, didn't you? You heard it here first.
You're going to make that move right now. And if I get a win, it's all your fault.
Hey, that's up to you. Whatever your desire, whatever your quest is, whatever you're hoping to accomplish this year, that's on you. Jeremy, owner of the Minnesota Fighting Pike. We hear from Jeremy every week. Thanks for the advice last week. McCoy over Sammy Morris. It may have been by default, but you convinced me to make the change. I'm tied for first place in my family league with four other teams at 4-2. Very similar to our league, in fact. Five more teams are 3-3, and the team that is 0-6 has the fourth highest point total in the league. It's been a crazy season. That is interesting. You know, you sometimes in fantasy football with matchups head-to-head, you know, you can have a really good team and just run, you know, the second, third best team and just run into the first best team or the best team for that week, week after week, which can get frustrating. Jeremy says, with most of my players on bye this week, I only have two questions. At running back, Fred Jackson at Carolina or LeSean McCoy at Washington? I'll take LeSean McCoy in that one. Just talking about Buffalo in terms of the Ryan Fitzpatrick situation, probably not good for any of their offensive players. And even though Carolina has been struggling against the run, you know, Fred Jackson doesn't even get all their carries now. Their offense has been sluggish, probably going to be even more sluggish this week. I'd hesitate to play Fred Jackson. I think LeSean McCoy could have an opportunity again this week against Washington to do some damage. So I would take my chances there with LeSean McCoy. Next question. I have a chance to pick up Baltimore's defense as I'm number one on the waiver wire. I already have the Minnesota defense, and I added the Pats defense for this week only. Not a bad move. I'd be dropping LeSean McCoy, who I've been trying to stash for the inevitable Brian Westbrook injury. Alternatively, I could wait for another player to hit the waiver wire and swoop them up. I don't want to waste my number one position on the waiver wire. Last year, I used it to pick up Dallas Clark, and that really paid off. So do I pick up Baltimore's defense, or do I wait for a better option? You know what I'm going to do for you right here, Jeremy, is I'm going to take a look, because I don't have this in my head, but I do have it in front of me, Baltimore's schedule going forward. Because I know, I understand Baltimore's defense is very good. But, you know, statistically speaking, they're not as good as you might think. And I think a lot of it depends on their schedule. So let's take a look here. This week they have the bye. So obviously Baltimore's defense wouldn't be of much help this week. Then they play Denver. I'm telling you, I don't think I want to play Baltimore's defense against Denver. Then they play Cincinnati. I got to be honest there, too. You'd probably play Baltimore if you had them because, you know, Baltimore's defense is pretty good, but Cincinnati's done some damage with Cedric Benson. Now, the next week, November 16th, at Cleveland, absolutely you'd want to play Baltimore. Indianapolis the week after that, at your own risk. Pittsburgh after that, tough matchup for Baltimore D. At Green Bay, another tough matchup for Baltimore D. Then you got Detroit. Absolutely, you'd start him there. Then you got Chicago. Now, this would be week 15 of the NFL season, most likely the playoffs. You know, that's one where you'd probably want to, if you're looking that far ahead, you know, Baltimore D against Chicago. I don't know. No gimme, but we're under consideration. Then at Pittsburgh in week 16, which would be the championship week. If you're looking ahead, I don't know if I'd waste my number one draft position, my number one waiver wire position on Baltimore. So you say you already have Minnesota's defense and the Patriots' defense. Well, let's keep going here. Let's take a look at Minnesota's schedule and who Minnesota plays. Here's who they got. This week at Pittsburgh, tough one, but you said you picked up New England's defense for this week. Good move. Then you've got Minnesota at Green Bay. Tough matchup for Minnesota's defense, and it's the week that the Patriots have a bye. So, and Baltimore that week, who did we say Baltimore played that week? Baltimore that week has Denver. You're not going to want to play them. I think Baltimore against Denver or Minnesota against Green Bay, that's kind of a toss-up. Not worth wasting waiver wire position on Baltimore. Then you've got Minnesota playing Detroit. Absolutely, you'd start them. They play Seattle. These are all at home. Detroit, Seattle, and Chicago in a row at home. Not bad matchups. Not bad matchups at all. At Arizona, probably not going to want to play them, but hey, you never know. Maybe the Patriots that week. Let's see who the Patriots have that week. The Patriots that week have Miami. That'll be a tough one for you, no question about it. Then Minnesota plays Cincinnati, Carolina, Chicago, and the Giants. Basically, my point is, I don't think you'd go out of your way here to pick up Baltimore. Stick with Minnesota. New England, you know, get rid of New England after this week. You're not going to want to use them in the bye. You're not going to want to use them against Miami, Indianapolis, New Orleans, some of the teams they have in November. I would take my chances with Minnesota's D. I'd use New England this week. I'd cut New England's defense after that, and I'd go week to week. Either go Minnesota, for instance, when they're playing Detroit, or see who's available on the waiver wire. That's my thought there, Jeremy. I hope that helps you out on that predicament. And again, as you say, I don't think you should drop LeSean McCoy. I like your thinking there. You'd be dropping LeSean McCoy, who you've been trying to stash for the inevitable Brian Westbrook injury. No doubt about it. Keep LeSean McCoy. Don't pick up Baltimore's defense. Number three question from Jeremy. Assuming Anthony Gonzalez is not playing, I need a wide receiver off the waiver wire. Which of the following players would you pick? Sam Aiken, Mohamed Massaquoi versus Green Bay, Robert Meacham at Miami, Randall L. against Philly, or Mohsin Muhammad against Buffalo? Great question there. I think you're probably right in assuming that Anthony Gonzalez won't be playing, although I haven't got the most up-to-date news there. You need a wide receiver off the waiver wire. Well, as long as you brought up Sam Aiken, let's go right there. The Patriots wide receiver situation. I know we have other emails about this that we are going to get to. And a topic that is worth discussing. Right now they have Randy Moss and Wes Welker, who, if last Sunday was any indication, they're back. No need to worry there. They are back. And they're must-starts every week, as long as they're healthy, all that, as long as Tom Brady's healthy. What about after that? Right now, Sam Aiken is not only their third wide receiver, he's their only healthy wide receiver on the roster if all the news about Julian Edelman is true that he has a broken arm and he's going to be out for a while. They've got guys like Brandon Tate, who's on non-football injury list, Terrence Nunn on the practice squad, and Sam Aiken's your special teams captain. He's on every special teams. Now, he's gotten more offensive opportunities in recent weeks, probably more than the Patriots expected him to have had or hope to have him have. Greg Lewis and Joey Galloway being guys that were, you know, fairly high-profile offseason acquisitions, making it appear as though the Patriots have phenomenal depth at wide receiver. They've both been cut. Personally, I don't see Sam Aiken being enough of a contributor on offense to be worth picking up in fantasy. I just don't see it. I think he's, you know, a guy that in a game like this against Tampa, I think upside for him would be 4 catches, 40-something or 50-something yards, and probably no touchdowns. I don't see him being a red zone target. I guess anyone who's in position to catch a ball could break one, but how do you know? I don't think Sam Aiken is on fantasy radar screens. If I had to take a guess, it would be that the Patriots are going into this Tampa game saying, you know what, they may activate Terrence Nunn or Brandon Tate, thinking, you know, we'll try to get by as best we can with these guys, and they might have some work to do at wide receiver, either looking at the real NFL waiver wire or really developing a Terrence Nunn or a Brandon Tate into a potential third wide receiver, one that could have a fantasy impact later this year. Just don't see it being Sam Aiken right now. Muhammad Massakoi, I'm very high on, but as long as that offense and that quarterback situation are as bad and as bleak as it seems to be right now, you know, stash him if you can. Play a matchup if you can. Don't really like him this week against Green Bay. Cleveland is at home against Green Bay. As I move on your list here, I think it may turn out that Muhammad Massakoi is one of the better options. Robert Meacham at Miami. Listen, if you get a guy from New Orleans, even if he's the third, fourth, fifth option, worth taking. Randall L versus Philly. Don't like any of these Washington players right now. And Philly is going to come in angry this week after losing to Oakland. And then Musa Muhammad against Buffalo. I actually, believe it or not, think Musa Muhammad might be the best option there. It's really, which of the double M's do you want to go with? Muhammad Massakoi or Musa Muhammad? Or Robert Meacham, I guess. If I had to make an order right now, I'd probably go Muhammad, Meacham, Massakoi in that order right now, Jeremy. But, you know, and you probably have the same dilemma that a lot of people have in terms of needing wide receivers. You know, a lot of leagues have, you know, more than two wide receiver slots, or maybe a flex, or maybe actually three full wide receiver spots and then a flex. And it's hard during a week when six teams have a bye, about a fifth of the league. It's difficult to figure out, you know, who to take off the waiver wire. Not a lot of great options. But, you know, Massakoi is probably the most intriguing overall. He had a breakout game a couple weeks ago. Muhammad, you know, one of their top options, I guess. And Robert Meacham, not necessarily one of their top options in New Orleans, but anyone's an option there. So, you know, I go one of those three. I'll narrow it down to one of those three, Jeremy. So thank you very much. While we're talking about wide receivers, another topic certainly of note this week is Michael Crabtree in San Francisco. The guy was, a holdout into October till just a couple weeks ago. And all indications are, you know, Michael Crabtree is a guy that's going to play quite a bit. 49ers coach Mike Singletary confirmed on Wednesday that Michael Crabtree will play, quote, a lot in his NFL debut Sunday at Houston. Now, Singletary didn't specify that Crabtree would start. He's expected to start. Starting at wide receiver in the NFL can probably be overrated. You just, it means you might not be in the first package of the game, but you could be in all the way throughout. So he, as Roto-World says, it should still be a, quote, wait-and-see week for Crabtree in fantasy leagues. The game plan is always run heavy for San Fran. Crabtree may rotate snaps with Josh Morgan. So here's what I think. I think Crabtree is worth, I think this might be opposite of what I said last week. I think Crabtree's worth getting on your roster. Very difficult for rookie wide receivers to really learn the system, make a huge impact. But if it's true that they're going to go to him a lot, and this is what I always say, if you have Michael Crabtree and if you have a wide receiver and he's being thrown to a lot, interceptions don't affect you as an owner of a wide receiver. If they're throwing the ball to Michael Crabtree 20 times and five of them are intercepted, that doesn't affect you and your team. As long as he catches, say, 5 to 7 of them and gets a bunch of yardage, that's what you care about. So, you know, it's kind of like what I heard, you know, with Braylon Edwards a couple weeks ago with the Jets. They trade for Braylon Edwards. And, you know, the question is, well, how quickly can he adjust? How quickly can he make an impact and all that? All you heard from Rex Ryan was, he's starting. We're throwing to him. And what does he do? He catches a touchdown his first game. If they're throwing to him, you got an opportunity there. Get Michael Crabtree if you can. Get him off the waiver wire if you can. If he's going to play a lot this week against Houston, and indications that are that he is, and Houston has a not below average pass defense, give it a shot, huh? Give it a shot. Back to the emails we go. Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Just quickly, another one from Jeremy. He added on one more question. Would you pick up Mike Bell off the waiver wire to start over McCoy or Fred Jackson? Mike Bell, New Orleans. I'd probably start him over Fred Jackson. Not sure if I'd start him over LeSean McCoy, although it's very close right there. If Mike Bell is their primary ball carrier, I probably would. The question is, who are you dropping? I don't know if I'd drop McCoy. I guess I'd drop Fred Jackson for him. So, yeah, worth picking up probably there, Jeremy. Mike Bell, if he's the guy, and in New Orleans, go for it. Next one, this is from Harry. I currently have Reggie Wayne as my number one wide receiver. I need two others for this week from Steve Smith, Carolina versus the Bills, Michael Crabtree, Niners versus Texans, or Jeremy Maclin, Eagles versus Redskins. Who would you go with? Well, I just talked about Michael Crabtree right there, and you know, I think he's worth having on your team. And this week, with a lot of biases we've talked about, he's definitely a guy you're going to want to have. But as far as two from your three there, Steve Smith, Michael Crabtree, Jeremy Maclin, I'd probably end up going with Steve Smith and Maclin. Maclin against the Redskins, again, like I said, I think Philadelphia is better than that. They lost to Oakland. They are better than that, and I think they're going to come out guns blazing. And I think Jeremy Maclin could be a benefactor of that. And Steve Smith, hey, I know he's getting a reduced role. I know he's talking about that. But Buffalo's defense is terrible. I know statistically their pass defense isn't all that bad. But that's because they're losing and all that. They're not, I don't know. I really think Steve Smith still has some good games in him. And of those three, I'd go Steve Smith and Jeremy Maclin. Harry says, also Monday, the Cowboys moved Miles Austin up to starter. And I'm considering releasing Maclin and picking up Austin for the season. This week it's the Cowboys with Miles Austin versus the Falcons. Would you recommend this move? And if so, would you use Austin as one of the two receivers I need for this week? Thanks. I don't think I would cut Jeremy Maclin. Don't agree with you there. You know, trying to figure out exactly where he's sort of ranked this week. And it's not like he's ranked all that high, Maclin. And, you know, Miles Austin, he's rising up depth charts. I'd want to have Miles Austin. I guess it depends on the depth of your league. You know, I'm probably overrating Jeremy Maclin a little bit because I like him for this week. Miles Austin is becoming the number one guy in Dallas, so you should try to get him. You know, as I think about it, yeah, you know, you should try to get him, not necessarily at all costs, but depending on how deep you're, if your league isn't all that deep at wide receiver, but Miles Austin is available, go for it. You might be able to get Jeremy Maclin later or a guy, someone like that. Maybe a couple weeks from now, there's another hot wideout that you want to go for. But I would go with Miles Austin. As I'm thinking about this, Harry, yeah, I'd make that move. I'd make that move. And if you need him for this week, and, you know, Dallas hosts Atlanta, you can throw on Atlanta. Miles Austin could be in for a big week. Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, bring him in. Harry, go for Miles Austin. That's a great call right there. This is the Fantasy Lowdown, as we've mentioned a couple times already, but in case you're just joining us, previously recording this week's show, I'm on my way to London, so heading over to the airport right around the time that this show is airing, so we're bringing it to you at an earlier date. We've got a bunch of emails that we've already gotten to, a few more to go. Thanks to everyone who's already emailed in. Webradio@patriots.com is how to do it. We're going to get to those emails and more fantasy notes right after this.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots.
Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Attaboy and Terry!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. Brian Lowe coming your way every Thursday with an hour of great fantasy football talk. Email-driven web radio at Patriots.com is the way to reach us. And taking your thoughts, giving you my thoughts, taking a look at some of the interesting news, notes, features, columns in the world of fantasy football each and every week. Amazing that we're already into Week 7. We're already inching closer to November. And here in Patriot land, we're on our way to London for a big game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Big game. I mean, it's interesting. The Patriots this year have played absolutely every single opponent has either been undefeated or winless, including, obviously, Week 1. Everybody's winless and undefeated. But 7 straight games against teams that either have no wins or no losses, which is very interesting, and then they still have 2 teams in November who, at this point, are undefeated, New Orleans and Indianapolis. More emails here. One quick one that, you know, hey, I always appreciate the email, but I'm going to have to say probably no on this one. From William Berry. Brian, in one league, my starting quarterback is Jason Campbell. In the other, Derek Anderson. Would Brian Hoyer be a good pickup this week? No, he wouldn't be. I see where you're going with this. I know you don't think Tom Brady is going to be benched or you're anticipating Tom Brady getting hurt. Your thinking, obviously, is Tom Brady's going to be out of the game because of non-competitive purposes early in the third quarter. It's scary. You know, it's not the way to think it to think in those terms. I see your reasoning. You're thinking that this week's game is going to be just like last week. And hey, if Brian Hoyer was in your fantasy lineup last week, which if he was, shame on you, obviously. But if he was, I mean, he had pretty good stats and ran in for a touchdown. You may have been able to win with Brian Hoyer at the helm. But as bad as Tampa Bay is, and as much as I think the Patriots are going to win this in a rout, I just think it only happens once, maybe twice, maybe in a season where a team is ahead by that much that the backup gets enough time and is throwing the ball enough late in a blowout that he's worth using fantasy-wise. I mean, think about that. He was in long enough to actually accumulate passing stats, but usually when a backup comes in, I mean, granted, sometimes teams want to see what they have out of their backup, and so they let him throw the ball. But it's unlikely that we're going to see 2 straight performances from Brian Hoyer. Listen, nothing to get excited about with Jason Campbell, nothing to get excited about with Derek Anderson. I understand your thinking, William. I would shy away from that. Neither one of those guys are appealing. I understand. And if you want to take that chance, you know, I see where you're going because you don't want to have negative points from Derek Anderson and Jason Campbell, and that's probably where they're looking, what they're looking at based on, interceptions and stuff like that. It's an interesting question, an interesting perspective. I just don't see myself going along those lines. We already got to this email. Did I have the same email twice? I may have. Let me just take a peek here. Don't want to double up on them. It's great that we're getting so many emails. I love it, and I want to keep them coming. I did already do that email.
Today, Junior!
Oh, enough. Don't worry, I got one here. Cormac from Ireland. Hey, Brian, so hope you're excited about your trip across the pond. I am, Cormac. I am. We'll be seeing you in a couple of days, I guess. Definitely looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing you, Cormac, and so many other people who email us all the time and in the Fantasy League and all that. Definitely looking forward to it. It's going to be a whirlwind. This is going to be a whirlwind trip as far as, you know, covering the team and catching all the sights and sounds, but really looking forward to some of the events that I know a lot of the UK Patriots and Patriot supporters from that area of the world are going to be at. So looking forward to all that. So Cormac says, I've had a trade proposed to me, and I'm tempted to accept it as it seems fair, but my problem is I'd have to cut players, and I don't know who to cut. Here's the deal. Cormac has been offered Calvin Johnson, Ahmad Bradshaw, and Brent Celek for Larry Fitzgerald. And I see where he's going with saying this is fair. I mean, you know, Calvin Johnson, a banged-up wide receiver, but a very good one. Ahmad Bradshaw, a guy who, you know, he's been banged up, but he's had some big outings, including just 2 weeks ago against Oakland. He's been sort of hit or miss and isn't necessarily their number one ball carrier, obviously, with Brandon Jacobs around. And then Brent Celek is a pretty good tight end, a pretty good tight end. Larry Fitzgerald, of course, is one of the preeminent players in fantasy sports, fantasy football, and a must start. So Cormac goes through what his team is. Tony Romo and Matt Hasselbeck. Now, this trade has nothing to do with the quarterbacks, at least in terms of who's being offered back and forth. Those are two decent quarterbacks. You can go week to week. You're fine there. Running backs, Maurice Jones-Drew, Pierre Thomas, Donald Brown, Marshawn Lynch, Felix Jones. Maurice Jones-Drew, obviously you start him every week, except for when he has a bye like this week. But between Pierre Thomas, Donald Brown, Marshawn Lynch, Felix Jones, I feel like you know, one of those four every week is startable along with Jones-Drew. And this week, if you have to mix and match, you'll be able to get by. Then at wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald, Braylon Edwards, Vincent Jackson, Sidney Rice, and Devin Hester. A good crop right there. Larry Fitzgerald, elite. Braylon Edwards, doing fairly well so far with the Jets. Vincent Jackson, very good wideout with a very good quarterback throwing him the ball. Sidney Rice, rising up charts. He's a guy you definitely want to have an eye on. And Devin Hester, you know, it hasn't been great, but pretty good. Tight end Chris Cooley. Now, here's what Cormac says. If I do it, I'm going to have to drop either Cooley or Celek, then someone like Rice or Hester, or Felix Jones or Brown, or Hasselbeck to make roster space. Would you do this, and which two players would you drop? I don't want to drop Cooley, as he's too good to just dump, but at the same time, I don't like having two tight ends. Perhaps I should not accept this and counter with something else. He has Cedric Benson, Wes Welker, and Dallas Clark, all of whom I like. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate your help here. Wow. A lot of information to take in there. My instinct is don't make the trade. Don't make the trade. That's my instinct. And here's why. Larry Fitzgerald's elite. Except for when he has a bye week, you can pretty much count on him in the top 3 to 5 tier of wide receivers. Calvin Johnson, while elite, is banged up, didn't play last week, on a bye this week, and doesn't have a steady quarterback situation thrown to him. Now, if Culpepper's in there, I like that better than Stafford. But, you know, not great. Bradshaw, he's not the number one guy for his team. He's had some injury concerns. He's kind of hit or miss. You won't go into too many games saying this is an Ahmad Bradshaw game. And then Brent Celek, to me, he's good, but you can get guys like Brent Celek. It's very deep. Tight end is very deep in the NFL right now. And then, as you say, you'd have to dump guys. You know, if you bring in Brent Celek and you know you're going to have to dump Celek or Cooley, I don't like that. I agree with you on Cooley. Cooley's pretty good. And if you need a tight end, I know Cooley's bye is coming up in a couple weeks. If you need a tight end, like I said, it's a pretty deep crop this year in the NFL. You can probably find guys off the waiver wire, especially if you just need one for Chris Cooley's bye week, and that might be all you'll need. And if you have to, and don't drop Sidney Rice. Absolutely don't drop Sidney Rice. Maybe try to work a trade, work him into a trade if you need to, but keep him. Really think about keeping him. Don't drop Hasselbeck. I like Hasselbeck, probably more than a lot of people do. If Tony Romo and Hasselbeck are your two quarterbacks this year, you know, those are two good guys to have. You can play off of each of them. You're not going to want to cut Donald Brown. You're not going to want to cut Felix Jones. I don't think you make the move. I think you stick with Larry Fitzgerald. I think if you need a tight end, you can find one off the waiver wire. I think if you need another running back even, I mean, Ahmad Bradshaw, don't get me wrong, has a lot of value. I'd like to have him on my team, but I don't think you want to make that move, Cormac. That's my thought right there. Love the email. Love the thought process you had into that email, and appreciate you bringing it to my attention. Much appreciated, Cormac, and hope to see you in the next couple days out there in London. We talked about Lawrence Maroney earlier, Jamie Eisenberg talking about him. Another one, Matthew Berry on ESPN.com, another great fantasy writer, the talented Mr. Roto. In his pickups of the week, number one right there, Lawrence Maroney. And here's what he writes. Make no mistake, he's not for the weak-hearted. If you thought last week's pickup column was threadbare, wait until you see this list of junk. So it's appropriate that we start with Maroney, who has killed more fantasy teams than Tom Brady's knee, Mike Shanahan's running back rotation, and Al Davis's existence combined. But when Sammy Morris went down for his annual injury, Maroney picked up the slack. He looked healthy with 19 touches for 133 yards and a score in week six. I like the fact that he caught three balls out of the backfield, that he's on an offense that can get even Brian Hoyer fantasy points, interesting, based on the last email we had, and that his coach is a vindictive jerk, guy who enjoys the competitive spirit of the game until the final seconds of the game. Pretend we didn't say that, huh? On the road, in England, the old one, against the terrible Tampa Bay run defense. I'm expecting a big game from him Sunday. Realize there is no rhyme or reason to the Pats. They plan for each game's opponent, so you are playing with fire here. But in a week six, but in a week with six teams on byes, it gets ugly quickly. So that's what Matthew Berry has to say. And really, it's kind of a perfect storm of opportunity for Lawrence Maroney for fantasy. He is suddenly the number one guy in his actual NFL team's depth chart, behind two guys who are injured, Fred Taylor and Sammy Morris. He's playing against a terrible defense, Tampa Bay, a terrible run defense. They're 31st in the league in run defense, 27th overall in defense. It's a week, a rare week, where there are six NFL teams on a bye, six out of 32. You don't have to be much of a math major. You know, that's about a fifth. It's a lot of running backs. It's a lot of running backs who are not available. And he's coming off a good performance. Might have a little bit of confidence, more confidence than he had in the past or in recent weeks. It's a great mix right there for Lawrence Maroney to be high in your list of waiver wire pickups for this week. So definitely bring him in if you can. Get him on your team. There might be a chance you're not going to want to start him too much more. And the Patriots have the bye week after this game against Tampa Bay. So maybe either Taylor or Morris is healthy enough to play. Again, with Morris, we don't really know. We don't really know the situation. It didn't look good, but, you know, he could be back. With Fred Taylor, it seems like even if he does come back this year, it'll be towards the end and probably won't have much fantasy value. But for this week, if you need a guy and you have a chance to pick him up, you got to go for it. I think Lawrence Maroney is definitely a good guy to pick up. A couple others that Matthew Berry mentions as far as guys to pick up, Lance Moore, from New Orleans, if he's available. Probably not all that available. Justin Fargus, Oakland, and Mike Bell. Now, Oakland is interesting because Darren McFadden's been a complete bust. All three of my teams, I had him. I was very high in him this year. A complete bust. Injured right now, and Justin Fargus is definitely a possibility. And here's what he says about Michael Crabtree. I'm not a fan of wide receivers who are or do one of the following. Rookies, hold out of training camp, on a run-first team named Terrell. Since Crabtree qualifies as three of the four, he's on this list for only one reason, the future. Look at the 49ers' schedule starting in Week 12. Jaguars at Seahawks, Cardinals at Eagles, Lions at Rams. Other than Philly, those are a bunch of terrible pass defenses. I'm not playing him anytime soon, but I definitely would stash him if I could, as he might have nice value toward the end of the season.
Eric Moulds was the guy in Buffalo, did nothing for two
so,
seasons, and all of a sudden he turned into a great receiver.
Anyways, Jason, what do you got there, man?
Was good immediately.
Okay.
Deion Branch was
that's
good
just me.
Right.
Yeah.
The guy in...
what's just you?
I'm just hearing that myself.
Jennings. Great.
Yeah, Jennings.
Okay. Maybe I'm not.
Might have been me.
It was you. The question was, was I hearing it only, or was everybody hearing that?
Everybody heard that.
We didn't need to hear that, Jason.
Sorry.
Hey, listen, I know we're
coming. Wrong button.
Wrong button. Hey, it happens. You push a lot of buttons.
As Andy Hart said, I'm the inept producer.
Does he say that? I'll have a word with
constantly.
Him. I'll have a word with him. Inept producer. Anyways, so Michael Crabtree, more value going forward than this week. Like I said earlier, he's an interesting guy this week because it seems like they're going to throw to him. They're, you know, maybe want to make a splash with him a little bit. But, you know, it's more of a future thing, and that's kind of how it is with rookie wide receivers in general. So that's what I got there as far as what Matthew Berry had to say about Lawrence Maroney. We heard from Jamie Eisenberg, a couple guys that we look at every week, and Jamie Eisenberg has been good enough to be on the show before. Again, the bye weeks for this week, Denver, Detroit, Tennessee, Seattle, Jacksonville, Baltimore. Among the spotlight games from a fantasy standpoint, I mean, hey, they all are, but here's a couple that come to mind to me. Atlanta at Dallas. Atlanta, great fantasy offense. Dallas, pretty good fantasy offense. They go head-to-head, definitely worth looking at. New Orleans at Miami. Boy, oh boy, Miami has come on strong. Some great fantasy options right there. New Orleans each and every week between Drew Brees, Colston, all of those receiving options. That's great. And Arizona at the Giants, a Sunday night game. The Giants, New Orleans, was just a fantasy bonanza last week. Arizona typically is with their stable of offensive performers. And, you know, so those are a couple of games to look at. New England, Tampa Bay, hey, we've talked about it. Anybody on New England, get them in there. I even like Benjamin Watson this week. They're skill position players. They don't have many of them healthy right now, but the ones that they do have, they're probably going to be pretty good performers. You're going to want to get them in there. Good luck to each and all, every one of you, even you, Jason. Good luck this weekend. And I say that whether you're looking to win or lose, good luck. That goose egg there at the bottom of the standings, you know, it's just a bad mark on the league. It's a bad mark on the league, like Detroit Lions were last week. It's a bad mark on our league.
It's exciting.
It is exciting.
Root for the underdog.
Root for the underdog. See if you can go 0-16. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. I always like to end the show with this. Email us anytime during the week. We get to you on Thursdays at 4 o'clock. This week we came pre-recorded, but I appreciate all the emailers who sent us emails beforehand. And if you're listening to us, and if you did listen, that's great. Send me an email next week. It's a Patriots bye week, but it's not the Fantasy Lowdown bye week, not in the least. We will be back with a full show next Thursday, 4 to 5, right here on Patriots.com. Thank you, Jason. My name is Brian Lowe. We'll see you next time on the Fantasy Lowdown.